Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Oh, you know you all have your opinions about how to place a proper catheter, and we are going to go there. Yes, that's right. We are going to chat with veterinary technician Mike Natale, and we're going to talk about best practices for cephalic catheter placement to the veterinary technicians and students and even us, the veterinarians out there. So how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the show. To our listeners, Mike Natale is an LVT and the head instructor at Nassau-Bosse's Barry Tech Veterinary Sciences Program, as well as a talent acquisition and retention manager at Veterinary Emergency Group. So he's been on the show before, and he's on our DVM360 editorial advisory board. So we do lean on him for a lot of great content. And one of your posts that you posted on your Instagram really did take off and went viral about catheter placement. And it really did stem this conversation because everybody's got an opinion. Mm-hmm. So let's just back up a little bit. Like, what are, like, when you're about to place that cephalic catheter, what are some things that you should have like ahead of time?
Yeah. So I definitely have my scrub ready. And when I say scrub, depending on the facility, someone might use Chlorhex or another solution along with the alcohol. So I always have my scrub ready. I always have my clippers ready, my actual IV, my T connector, and my tape already ripped, ready to go.
What kind of tape are you using?
So they discontinued the tape that I loved. So unfortunately, we're using another brand right now from Patterson.
Okay.
Not the biggest fan, but that's okay.
And of course, are you using any vet wrap as well, an Elasticon, just in case? Or
not on a regular peripheral, I do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have that. I know the other great tip that you mentioned is proper restraint, right?
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about how important that is.
Yeah, so it definitely is all about restraint. Having a great assistant that can hold off is key. Making them pop that elbow out and keep it steady. So while you poke, that dog, cat, whatever it may be, doesn't pull back, missing or re-poking on accident during that process.
Yeah, and stabilizing that elbow is crucial. And keeping the head away from them, distracting them, right?
Yep, nobody wants to get bit.
Nobody wants to get bit. I remember teaching my students from medial to lateral to rolling it around, because sometimes when they're just starting out, they'll just do a karate chop. And then, you kind of need to roll that cephalic catheter a little bit more laterally to get greater visibility or exposure. So we have the restraint. And then talk to us a little bit about clipping.
Yeah, so you have to be very, very careful when you're clipping. I see a lot of people being really rough with the clippers on the skin, and we get a lot of razor burn that way, right? We don't want to mess up the skin any more than it already is, especially if there are older patients. So you want to be very gentle with that. You want to make sure that those clippers are also clean, because I've seen people leave some blood on there, and it is not okay.
Let's talk about that. That is a great tip, by the way, because we're so busy, Mike, and I have seen this happen. I'm like, what the heck? It just takes a few seconds to clean off those clippers. Talk about transferring bacteria. We're trying to create a sterile field, and having clippers like that is certainly not helping the situation, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I know at the end of, my clipping, I always clean them out with a brush, some gauze pads, disinfectant.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, you clip a good amount away, of course, you know, so you can get good visibility. And then what's your technique for cleaning?
Yeah. So I have 3 and 3, right? So 3 of my Chlorhex, 3 of my alcohol. And I, of course, wherever I go to poke, I want that to be the cleanest part of it. So I move all the bacteria, germs, whatever it is in that area, debris away from that insertion site.
Okay. Nice. And when you're choosing catheter placement, everybody's got an opinion about this, I know. So I know our listeners might be writing in as we speak, as we write, as we're talking. But, you know, what about, catheter placement? What's your go-to? You know, what do you recommend?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the patient and the size of them, right?
Right.
So if we're talking like a pug or something, you know, maybe a 22 or 20, you know, Rottweiler, Shepherds, maybe an 18 or 20.
Mm-hmm. And do you like to pre-heparinize the catheters, or what are your thoughts on that?
That is a good question, because that, you know, is a big discussion topic at a lot of places. I personally do, of course, depending on what's going on with the animal, right. But I know a lot of places do not want you to do that. So okay. It really depends on, it's a case-to-case basis.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up, and to the listeners, it is a case-by-case basis, and it is something I've been seeing a lot more in the literature. So always check with, you know, the veterinarian, the situation, of course. So, okay. And then when you're placing the catheter, when you have these cephalic catheters, do you have tape already on the catheter itself? Like what's a good hack that you recommend?
One thing that we actually jumped over, so we're going to go back.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Always want to wear gloves, right?
Yes.
So yeah. We're always going to wear gloves when we scrub our site. And what I like to do once I scrub and everything, I always have a bunch of dry gauze pads next to me, and I make sure that my gloves are dry as well before I go to do the actual poke. I have my tape pre-ripped already with tabs on it hanging on the table, so that once I poke and my IV is in, that's when I start to put my tape around my IV site.
Okay. And you said you place T-ports in for...
Yep. So once I secure my actual catheter, that's when I remove my cap. I put a piece of dry gauze right under, so that my tape doesn't get covered in blood, and I screw my T-port on.
That's a really great tip too, by the way, if you're just starting out with catheter placement, is to put gauze underneath that to catch any of the blood, because you'll get better adhesion with the tape, right?
Exactly.
And I love that you're talking about adding tabs on, because, you know, you got to have tabs, please.
If you don't have... Oof,
right. And where are you at, right?
Exactly. You come take it out.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you have that in, and then I'm assuming you're going to want to flush the catheter a little bit, right?
Yeah, so again, that's where we go back to like either the heparinized flush or just saline flush. I always flush it a couple of times to make sure it doesn't blow. Of course, if it's like a CHF patient, you want to be careful with how much you're flushing.
Right. What happens if it does blow?
If it does blow, unfortunately, you're most likely going to have to start over. And it, you know, they blow for a wide variety of reasons. So if you're not as confident on the IV the next time, maybe ask a buddy just to help, you know, oversee them and try it again.
Yeah, right. And sometimes, you know, you can go higher up or you just go to another leg too and try. But I do like, you know, we generally have like a 2-poke rule. Yeah. If you can, because listen, some of these patients, you're in emergency medicine, they're coming in critical. So if they're hypovolemic, hypotensive, it's going to make it really challenging to find, you know, a line.
Yeah. And sometimes we have people doing it, you know, one on the back leg, one on the front leg.
Right. Because it's just, so, you know, time is really crucial, of course. Okay. So we have our line secure, let's say, and then walk us through a little bit about bandaging it up.
Yeah. So again, that's a clinic preference. Some clinical settings don't like you to bandage, just because some notice the the fat paw with it. But if you do bandage it, just make sure that you are a little bit light with it. I personally do like bandaging just because it keeps the site a little bit more protected. It prevents any more bacteria or a sort of infection to getting to that site. So I use my cast padding, my cling, and then my vet wrap.
Nice. And then the single most important thing where we always sometimes, I don't want to say, just remember, go ahead.
Are you going to say label? Right? So eight initials.
Thank you. So important. And then the grand dismount that we all should remember is a cone around the head if they're going to knock.
Yes.
Right? Because you do like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And then 5 seconds later, they're like, oh, that's nice. They're chewing out their catheter and ripping it out. You know, like your Picasso artwork just went down, you know. So yeah, catheter, initial, you know, put a timestamp or whatever on there, and then e-collar. Exactly. Any other suggestions that you would recommend?
No, I would, again, ideally you should really be checking your IV every couple of hours to make sure that it didn't blow. You know, always maybe depending on how bad the tape might get from, you know, food, urine, whatever it may be, maybe retape it. And maybe even replace the whole catheter after maybe 3 days or so
to prevent
sort of infection from starting.
And when discharging patients, with catheters that need to come out, I've seen so many great hacks around the country now just to kind of remember to take them out, because let's face it, sometimes they forget and patients will walk out the door with a catheter in their arm. So what do you guys do to kind of remember to pull the catheter?
Yeah. So what I like to do is I like to have an idea time of when they're getting discharged. And we have those discharge times. And then on our treatment sheet, we have usually a warning an hour beforehand to remove the IV before they do leave.
I like that. There's a hospital in California that has it on the run. And it's like this huge sign that says, did you remove my catheter today? And so you like take it off the run that you've actually did. So that way, you know, that, you know, they're going home without the catheter or whatever. So, because yeah, it can happen. And then, you know, some people are driving far and you got to come back in and remove it or whatever. So it's just not good client service, let's just say. So yeah. Do you have a tip, by the way, on how to remove a catheter?
Yeah. So I like that ease off spray.
Yes.
Yeah. I personally love it. And then, you know, if there's tabs, which there should be, right? It's pretty straightforward. But if not, I do like doing the ease off spray. I feel like it's a little bit nicer for the animal. They're less reactive to it. And then I just go layer by layer. If it's loose enough, I'll use my bandage scissor just to take it off completely. But always be careful of where that IV was inserted, because I have seen people cut it and it's been a problem. So you just want to be careful with that.
Huge, awesome call out. That's why I wanted to ask that. It has happened, listeners, that just like Mike said, when you're cutting that bandage, make sure you know where that catheter is so you don't use your bandage scissors to cut and then you have to, you know, do a cut down basically to find and retrieve the catheter piece. So good call out. Good job. Yeah. Well, this has been fantastic. And I really love, this is probably one of my favorite podcasts, Mike, because it's simple, but yet it needs to be said, right? Yes. Yeah, because we live such busy lives in the veterinary hospitals, but it's always nice just to kind of have a reset on these things and to hear it. So hopefully listeners, while you're driving to work today or coming back from work, this has helped you.
I'm here for anyone that needs help.
Yeah, Mike, Natalie, tell them about your Instagram and then tell them about that post that went viral about this. This is why we had the podcast.
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is the Vet Med Teacher on Instagram. I did have a post that went viral around like January 15th. Go ahead and take a look at it.
Yeah.
I think it gives a great representation of a, you know, an ideal IV placement.
Yeah, really is. Fantastic job, my friend. Always good to hear from you. And thank you for all the great work you do in our profession.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.